WTRSundayNights.com.
Yo, you're listening to WTR Sunday Nights with Frankie Kazarian.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Jed Shamrock.
This is the NWO Sting.
Hi, this is Gail Kim.
Hi, this is April Hunter.
This is Johnny B. Badd, the bad man of professional wrestling.
This is the one, the only Knockout, Tracy Brooks.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute, you're listening to WTR Sunday Nights.
And you are listening to WTR Sunday Nights.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Can you feel the heat?
You are tuned in to WTR Sunday Night.
Politically incorrect, and damn proud of it.
Hail to the king, baby.
This is Raven, and you're listening to WTR, and I've got a tip for you. Don't pet burning dogs.
This is the king of old school, Steve Carino, 32-year-old virgin. For all you people out there that are serious about teenage sex, just don't do it. Be like the champ. Say no to the SEX.
This is Samoa Joe, TNA superstar and ROH multiple-time champion. And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, no, wrong guy. This is Kip James from TNA. You're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday night. And if you're not down with that, I got two words for you, and you know what they are.
Internet Dave.
Who the fuck is Internet Dave?
Hey everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
This is Brian Danielson.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
This is Matt Hardy, version 1.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Christopher Daniels, and the gospel, according to the fallen angel, says that you are listening to the WTR Sunday Night.
This is WTR Sunday Night, the greatest wrestling talk show of all times. And you can take it to the bank, because I am Sid Vicious, the master and the ruler of the world.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
Hello, this is three-time WWE champion and hardcore legend Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio. Yeah!
The champ is here!
With your host, Tim Stein.
I'm the boss!
Omega.
I do what I want, when I want. I call the shots.
Mace.
I am awesome.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
The Rock says, know your role and shut your mouth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Stop what you're doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather round, I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I drink a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf, so just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is, as you probably guessed by the extra long, though not as long as I feared, intro with all the past guests. It's the anniversary! The show's 10 years old! And I'm sure that's important. But no, we got plenty ahead, the week of wrestling, as well as all of our memories of the show. And, of course, this is the Omega, the be-all and all of our little network. And joining me for our anniversary, we have Mace.
Yes, 10 years of WTR, no overinflated years here. Everything's tracked and coordinated down to the day, so I'm quite sure somebody there has just been absolutely no life whatsoever to take record of 10 years of WTR. The poor bastards.
Thanks, Rock. Wow. Yeah, and we're going to go over those 10 years at some point, I'm sure. Maybe. I think so. And the only man here who knows all about every year, hopefully, I hope his memory has lasted that long, we have the one and only Tim Stein.
Now, that was just a cheap shot. How dare you impugn my memory? Just because I can't remember what I had for dinner last night.
Okay. Hey, I just said, it's been 10 years, you know, a lot of shows, a lot of things going on. I don't know how vivid your memory is of every episode.
Well, you know, it's kind of ironic that I would say I can't remember what I had for dinner last night because I just finished eating leftovers for dinner tonight. So go figure.
Oh, dear.
But I figure this is going to be the one time, you know, a 10-year anniversary of the show that we should be allowed to get away with the old jokes.
Old jokes. Old show. I see where you're going. I get it. Old? Not old. It's established. They're vintage jokes. Come on. Just like Michael Cole says all the time.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Well, anyways, everybody, welcome to WTR Sunday Night. Yet one more edition. That's right. 10 years. The official 10th anniversary is just a couple of days away, but we're not going to be on the air a couple of days from now, so we'll do it tonight. Why don't we just, like, basically get right into things, kick it off with your win and your fail? And we'll start with Mace. What was your win for the week?
Let's see. Seeing as we're going off what happened in professional wrestling this week, and we have to discount Impact because I don't watch that. We discount SmackDown because I don't watch that. I've missed main event this week. I haven't watched NXT in a while, so that leaves only Raw. And I'm going to go with, surprisingly enough, the opening promo to Raw this week involving Triple H, Bautista, and the Viper, Randy Orton.
The opening?
The opening.
Pray there was tell.
There was a lot of interesting things said. There was shots at Batista's inability to capture the crowd's attention since his return and the negative reaction of the crowd. The failure of Randy Orton as a champion and the subsequent rise of Daniel Bryan as the fan favorite. Top this all off with Triple H making the proclamation that no matter who wins between himself and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, there will be a triple threat main event for the championship. Finally, they decided we're going to drop Batista versus Randy Orton and try and liven it up with a third person in the mix. Bravo, bravo.
Okay, so that's your win for this week, and it focuses on Raw. What about you, Omega? What's your win for the week?
Well, I do watch SmackDown, though for some reason I can't remember anything that happened on SmackDown. Seriously, I had to go back and look at the results. I saw this 2 days ago.
And you're impugning my memory. Thanks.
Yeah,
nice job.
No, I was going to go with the same thing. You know,
interesting.
That promo was awesome.
Okay.
I mean, with those three guys in the ring, I kept wondering where Ric Flair was. But, you know, beyond that.
Other than that,
you know, Mace hit all the nice points about it. You know, it felt like it was a very intense promo. It felt more like an old school kind of wrestling promo that, you know, it's not just, I don't like you, so I'm going to hold a mic and make fun of you type thing. You know, it did bring in a lot of the real elements. It did feel a lot more personal.
Mm-hmm.
And it did its job really well. I mean, you got Triple H, who's completely going over the edge at this point. Completely losing his mind over the Daniel Bryan situation. You know, which you'd have to. You know, otherwise it makes no sense for him to be doing this. There has to be some kind of madman at the helm at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it did a great job of... There is such a little twist to that little promo where you know they're not going to put three heels at the main event of WrestleMania 30.
Unless your name is Sir Rockin'.
You got the top heel in the company, the champion that no one is interested in, and Batista, who no one gives a rat's ass about.
Yeah.
That might be the worst WrestleMania main event ever. So they're basically telegraphing. I mean, for the casual fan, this is, oh, maybe Triple H will have one more WrestleMania main event. But for anyone on the internet, anyone who's in the crowd, you know, the smarter ones in the audience, it pretty much lets them tell you, hey, Daniel Bryan's going to main event WrestleMania this year. Go buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it does it in a way where they get to advertise a triple threat without actually overtly saying it.
Okay. So basically, yeah. Okay. I'm surprised that you both picked the same thing.
Hold on.
You're surprised that we picked the same thing when pretty much all three of us picked the same win last week.
Yeah, well, last week was different because, you know, that was the way to go.
This is where Tim's going to tell you guys are wrong.
All right. I admit I was following the leader last week. No, your choice for your win for the past week definitely has validity to it. I just honestly expected one of you to pick the Daniel Bryan Triple H beatdown to close the show. It was epic, and it really, really did a lot for that angle, that storyline. We're going to see some repercussions to that tomorrow night for absolute certainty. But, no, seriously, surprised that you guys didn't pick that.
It's a good segment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get me wrong. A great way of ending Raw. You know, builds up the feud.
Yep.
Oh, no, I just like the opening promo better.
Well, me saying that I'm surprised that nobody picked that, I'm going to absolutely surprise everybody else and not pick it myself. I am, however, giving it honorable mention. Okay, honorable mention to the end of Raw, Daniel Bryan in handcuffs being beaten down by Triple H. My one, however, is the Shield going basically turncoat against Kane, who's representing the Authority. Just moving that plot line along. And there's some big stuff that's coming down the pipe with concerning the Shield. And it's... You know, compared to everything else, it's almost like it's being done on a on stealth mode, almost quietly under the radar type idea.
Yeah, it's very stealth under the radar. You know, like eliminating more than anyone else in the Royal Rumble ever.
Yeah, well, you know, but people aren't focusing on that as much as they are on all the other stuff, especially the Daniel Bryan Triple H. Storyline with the triple threat main event being announced for WrestleMania 30. And so that's my win for the past week. I want to know now, Omega, what's your fail? And this is where it gets random.
This is where it gets random?
Yeah. I think so.
Poor Titus O'Neil. My God.
Uh-huh.
So you're in this tag team that gets a lot of attention because Darren Young comes out of the closet. You build up this, you build up Titus as the one that's going to break off. He's going to go solo, be the big heel, and the main event player, mm-hmm. Titus O'Neil, you know, beats his former tag partner on pay-per-view. Whoop-de-doo. Because now he's in a fakey red goatee and hat and claiming by one of the stupid. You know, I don't care. You know, if we were just pretending that someone backstage said, "Here, you have to do this because this is our St. Patrick's Day themed match of the night."
Mm-hmm.
What? If you're playing that character up, that he would actually turn on his longtime partner like that, and then you're going to make it out like he's actually going to go out there and willingly do this,
mm-hmm.
is it kind of undermines any kind of potential, any kind of potential seriousness I had for the character is now completely gone.
Just totally destroyed because of the fact that it was... St. Patrick's Day on Monday.
Well, to be fair, any seriousness I take from the character is damaged every time he comes out, does that stupid little hand sign, and barks.
Okay.
But, yeah, beyond that, that pretty much killed any credibility that he had been building up.
Okay, fair enough. Mace, what's your fail for the week?
Yeah, there was sort of a reason why I was keeping quiet when you mentioned your secondary win for the week there, Tim.
Yeah.
Because it's actually my fail for the week.
Really? Okay.
That final segment, welcome back to fucking SummerSlam. Welcome back to the point that we were at, you know, in the closing parts of last year, where Daniel Bryan is the underdog only because he gets the shit kicked out of him by, you know, management once again.
Mm,
we're going
okay.
back to that?
By the okay. way, he has a shoulder tear now, too.
Yeah. Thanks, Triple H.
Yeah, there you go.
Good way to look after the worker you've got to work with in 2 weeks.
really have an injury.
Shut up. It's called kayfabe, dickhead.
What's kayfabe?
Don't make him smart to the business. Hush.
Not Tuesday night.
But yeah, I just, if this is the way that they're going to build Bryan up for the match, that he's the one getting beaten down and everything with like a comeuppance at the 11th hour, I can live without it. You know, okay. So far they were doing so well. Again, I'm always going to preach this. The whole don't touch scenario works so well because we got the whole yes movement thing on Raw was a great example of how to build a feud without the guys having to touch at all.
Yeah.
And you can continue that on, and you never have the guys touch. The second Triple H decides, oh, well, I'm going to beat the shit out of my opponent. Why? Because he's handcuffed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, we're going down the dastardly, cowardly heel route.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well just fucking go, oh, yeah, you remember what happened to you back at SummerSlam and for the next, like, 3 months after that? Yeah, we're just going to repeat that up until WrestleMania.
Okay. Because,
you know, that didn't fucking hurt Daniel Bryan at all.
Well, I'm not burying your fail or anything here, but after the takeover of Raw by the Occupy group, didn't the Authority have to retaliate somehow and reassert their authority?
Yeah, it's called suspension. Suspension without pay. There's plenty of ways they could do it in a management way to screw with the crowd and screw with Daniel Bryan as a character. The physical domination, we know that's coming. That's going to be 95% of the match at WrestleMania is going to be Triple H kicking the shit out of Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need that leading up to it.
Well, do you think that Daniel Bryan is going to wind up squeaking out a win? Or, you know, as they say, stealing the win from Triple H and not actually being able to showcase his own talents?
He'll make Triple H tap.
Okay. Oh, really?
I will call it now 2 weeks out. Triple H taps to the yes lock.
Okay, I am going to hold you to that one. And now I just want WrestleMania 30 to be here just so I can watch the match to find out if you're right.
Yeah, because it's going to be one of those, when Triple H is in control, it's going to be physical domination. When it comes down to the technical aspect, it's going to be Daniel Bryan ducking, weaving, using Triple H's own momentum against him, those type of tactics.
Gotcha. Okay.
Which will lead into Bryan wearing down Triple H and making him tap to the S lock.
I see. Omega, do you see the logic on that one?
He's going to kick his head off.
Oh, so basically you're saying he's kicking his head off, whereas Mace is guaranteeing the submission.
I'm not actually sure. I'm not going to make any kind of prediction about just how the match is going to end. I can see the logic in it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, as
yeah.
a scenario, it works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fine. Okay, if you reverse a pedigree into a yes lock, as long as you got his arms hooked some way.
Yeah.
Okay. If that works.
All right. Well, that's fair enough, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Well, for me, my fail for the week was the Ziggler versus Damian Sandow. Now, not the match itself, not the wrestlers. The match was good. The wrestlers were good in their respective, you know, jobs, whatever, what have you. The fail comes from WWE, in my opinion, basically giving up on these guys. I mean, at one point in time, they were, you know, being showcased, highlighted, and pushed. Sandow and Ziggler both had the Money in the Bank briefcases. Ziggler actually held the title for a cup of coffee. Sandow had to do the job and be the second guy to lose going up against John Cena. And he's the one who, you know, he did it by the sneak attack, whereas Cena was, you know, straight up and came straight at you and still lost.
Ziggler's the unfortunate one because they did have big plans for him, and then Jack Swagger happened.
Yeah.
Jack Swagger knows how to screw up just about everything.
Not just himself, yeah. So, but yeah, no, it's disappointing to see, because let's face it, both these guys have some talent, and both of these guys could actually do something if WWE went back to them, I think. But to be treated as like a double afterthought almost, at least that's the way it feels to me.
You've also got to take into account, Tim, that we're currently in WrestleMania season.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of you, the one thing that happens every year at WrestleMania is a lot of your mid-card and lower-card guys just get lost.
Yeah.
They disappear. There's no attention. There's no rhyme or reason for what happens to them because the company is shifting its focus on the matches they want to sell for the pay-per-view.
Well, yeah.
So the way that they're being treated at the moment isn't probably something that's going to happen continuously. It's just happening for the moment because of the way they're focusing their product at the moment.
Okay, well, I can understand what you're saying, and it has validity, but this fail for me is the culmination of weeks upon weeks upon weeks of, you know, several months of stuff that just basically they've used them as filler, you know, even before the big push to build all of the WrestleMania matches. But so, you know, that's just, you know, the way I feel about the whole thing, and it's my opinion, and I'm entitled to it. So, but well, yeah,
you never know. They might put him in some match for the U.S. title or Intercontinental title, or oh wait, both of them are already booked in multi-man matches, so fuck it.
Yeah, don't even bring up the U.S. title. You know, how many times has that been defended in the last 6 months? Once?
I'm gonna go with twice.
I couldn't name either one, to tell you the truth. Either title defense.
I think one was against Mark Henry.
Yeah, well, okay. So that would happen. It happened like 2 weeks ago.
And that's how much they actually lampshaded it. It's like, okay, you never defend that belt. Here, go up against Mark Henry.
Yeah, on main event. So yeah, there's a program everybody watches.
It was a main event. I thought it was Raw.
Apparently, it was on main event.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Worse.
So there you go. All right. Well, we've already got Mace's reaction to the Daniel Bryan beatdown. Did you want to add anything else to it, Mace?
No, I'm quite right with what I've already said.
Okay, that's fair. Omega, what about you? Let's take a couple of quick seconds to basically put this whole thing to bed with the beatdown and everything.
You know, it's a fine segment. It's again a more old school tactic, though. I do think it was hilarious how they, you know, basically blew the cover of the cops.
Uh-huh.
You know, beforehand, because there's part of me that it, like, immediately went, Hunter, kayfabe. It's like, yeah, they're never real cops, Hunter.
Yeah.
They're from FCW. Well, we know this.
When do you ever see real cops on Raw? I mean, come on.
Mm-mm.
They're in the audience with their kids.
Pretty much.
Yeah, more or less. So,
but no, it's, I know, it's part of me is going, okay, that's kind of an old school thing. I kind of like that. It's more of a Attitude Era style tactic.
Yeah.
Okay, I can kind of go with that. It's the boss abusing his authority to just ridiculous degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, just, you know, this more or less works for me right now.
Yeah, you know, you know, I guess on the other side of the coin with Mace there, I like the beatdown. I thought it was good. And, yeah, okay, I understand what you were saying, Mace, that you could still build it up, and it would be even more effective doing it correctly by not having either of them actually get physical with each other. And, you know, yeah, I see that, and I understand the effectiveness of it. But at the same time, you know, like Omega was saying, it kind of an old school feeling to it. I mean, you had the elements of cowardice with, you know, Hunter's playing the cowardly heel because he had to make sure that Brian was all handcuffed before he bothered to beat him down. You had the brutality of the attack itself, whereas you're sure that Daniel Bryan might wind up hurting his shoulder if you're not careful. Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Now, you see, here's the thing. I don't see it as a cowardly tactic.
Mm-hmm.
I see it more as a cerebral one because this is the boss. He is in control, and this is him exerting his control.
And you know, it's the cerebral assassin. Yeah. Okay.
It's not a cowardly tactic because he was right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know where you know this isn't a day where you know Vince McMahon does this to Austin and then you know doesn't even come out until he's well handcuffed and there's 10 guys surrounding him.
Yeah.
You know, he was right there in the ring with Brian. He called him out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, there is a swerve to it, but uh-huh. It's not so much a cowardly one. It's a mental game. Okay, this is how, you know, this is the control I have here. This is what you're against.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's like a fine line between you know being cerebral and being a cowardly heel. In some corners, like you said, Vince McMahon, and Austin, you know, wait until he had the crap kicked out of him by 10 guys before he moves in. Sure. Okay. Would it have been more or less effective for Triple H just to cold cock him in the middle of the ring while they were talking?
It's not less effective because he could have done that and it would have been a cheap shot. And okay. Like I said, this is him exerting dominance and control. Yes, yeah. he could have just whipped out a sledgehammer and beat him in the head. You know, mm-hmm. He could have had the New Age Outlaws ambush him. You know, there's a million ways you could have done this. The way it was done was specifically to demonstrate this is how much control I have, and even when you think you know what is going on, you don't. Because this is what I control, everything around you.
Okay,
and that is what you are against at WrestleMania.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, you know what? On that note, why don't we take our first time out of the evening, unless anybody has anything else to input?
Let the Rock and stick his Triple H movement up his ass.
Let the Triple H movement begin.
Hey, Rock, your Triple H movement is not that popular. Anyways, everybody... You're listening to WTR.
Night.
Why am I hearing myself talk? You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. 10th year on the internet airwaves. We'll be back right after this quick little timeout.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimping.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that was just recently.
It was this past Sunday. It's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait, give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute, I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on now. Man,
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait. That's all.
Los Matadores versus the Real American. You all
I'm going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making it.
I seen him too in action, and I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny.
Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. As luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see if I seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good. I would have picked him if I had seen him. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Brie Bella lost the match with Ace and Rob picked Brie. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh, my God. Get the fuck out.
I believe you changed to Cancer Rock. Oh, shit. Well, that's one for me, because I'm sticking to my original pick. Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you, I told you, I'm my own worst enemy. He coming. Just like, bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. It's the best there is, and I know because so am I. I'm the ROH champ, Austin Aries.
God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big. She looks like one of those rap guys' girlfriends. But, you know, who understands those rap guys? They only talk to her because she looks like a total prostitute, okay? I mean, her butt is just so big. I can't believe it's so round. It's like out there. I mean, gross. Look. She's just so... Wow.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Now when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough cause you notice that butt was stuck.
This is one of those guilty pleasure songs where when it does come on the radio, you find yourself singing to it and not realizing it.
My whole boy's trying to warn me, but that butt you got makes me so horny. Ooh, rump a smooth skin.
Welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. We want to start bugging the producer, and he's busy doing crap, is what he says, and doesn't want to talk about his or defend his Triple H movement post that's on the front page of the Wild Talk Radio Network. So we're not going to let him escape tonight without bugging him about it eventually. Is that not correct, guys?
That's pretty much correct. All opinions are valid here, even if they're the wrong ones.
Even if they're rocks.
No, I said that they're wrong. Didn't say they were rocks.
Well,
Rock's not always wrong. Well, he does make a good point every now and again.
Once in a blue moon, he's wrong a hell of a lot more than he admits to it. How's that? And when he is wrong, he won't admit it.
Neither will you, Tim, neither will Omega, and neither will I, so.
I admit when I'm wrong. It's just so much more infrequent than it is with anybody else that it's just, it's almost non-existent.
It's right, also opposite day here on the WTR network.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, moving on. The next item up for topic discussion would be John Cena's little promo, being scared of Bray Wyatt.
You know, it's nice that when they give these impromptu promos about Legacy, that they already conveniently had licensed a song all about Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very fortunate of WWE.
It was just like happenstance is all, you know, a happy coincidence. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I'm happy to see John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. Like a lot of people I know, I'm going to be cheering on Bray Wyatt in that one. John Cena getting on a mic and talking like he's scared and stuff like that. It just because of his reputation as Superman with the internet wrestling community to the point where they've actually made fun of it, by bringing it up on, WWE programming here and there, calling John Cena Superman. It's just the promo didn't fit, in my opinion. I didn't like it, Mace.
It's sort of, it's weird. Like, Cena's going on about he's afraid of Bray Wyatt, who he is, what he does, and everything else. And it seemed that the most important thing was he was afraid that people are listening to Bray Wyatt and what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Of course, with Wyatt saying that, you know, that it's a lie to believe is John Cena is the superhero and that not everything is what it seems in the world of John Cena. It's like this weird mesh of fiction and reality. Yeah, because anyone who's like had a look at Total Divas has seen the other side of John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the neat freak, the perfectionist, very not really wanting to give as much as take, and to have that sort of play out in the ring is sort of weird. Mind you, Bray gets points for the plastic girlfriend comment.
That was good.
It did come out a few days later that Bray actually went backstage and apologized for the comment in advance. So,
so at least she knew that it was coming. So
yeah, pretty much. But I bet she still would have been bloody pissed about it.
So, marks to Bray Wyatt for not pulling a heartbreak kid moment.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because that was damn similar to his sunny days comment.
Yeah.
But it's damaging.
Very true. But the whole thing is, it's like, when it comes back to Cena, he's more worried about the influence Bray Wyatt is having on people. So it's almost like, oh, I've been hearing all the cheers and boos, but now I have a focus on who's causing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of it's one of those sort of like the whole embracing of the Yes movement and turning it into a storyline deal. They're taking a legitimate reaction and using it in a storyline to further a character and a storyline and eventually with a payoff with the WrestleMania match.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just sort of weird that this is the way that they're trying to sort of they're embracing it without acknowledging it. But they're acknowledging it. That's weird. But hey, it's Bray Wyatt and more promos from him. The guy is literally the modern day Raven.
Yeah. Bray's good.
I was talking to Spug during Raw, and he's like, yeah, you're right. You know, Bray is pretty much Raven of the new generation.
Uh huh.
In terms of promo and even pulling out the crucifix pose this week as well. But yeah, it's just interesting to see how this feud's progressing. And it's interesting to see Cena sort of somewhat out of his element. Because if it's one thing that we've learned, is Bray doesn't script his promos. So a lot of this is constant on the fly.
Yeah, that's why old school right weird. There.
Well, that's why Cena sort of ends up on the back foot when they come down to these one-on-one promos. Mm-hmm. Cena is used to working against guys who are scripted, so he knows exactly what's going to happen. You know, this guy's going to say this. I reply with this. He says this. I say this, and keep going and so forth. With a guy like Bray, who surprisingly comes out of nowhere with the ability to pull these promos out of his ass, it puts a guy who's used to scripting on the back foot. That's why it looks very awkward on camera.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It's just interesting to see Cena on such a back foot in a promo battle, considering that he started out being a goddamn guy who would do raps before a match and wouldn't actually script 50% of them.
Yeah, the point I was attempting to make before you actually went railroading right over my point by pointing it out is like Cena shouldn't be taken aback by that because he was at one point in time the master of improv. Promos in the form of his battle rap style.
Goes to show what happens to a guy over the over 10 years.
Once you stop doing it, you know, you get really rusty with it. Yeah. So, yeah, okay, Omega, from you.
I am very much on the same page. It's one thing to say, well, this is... It feels a little mismatched because although... The wrestler has been around a while in WWE now. Bray Wyatt himself is still fairly new, in the grand scheme of things.
Yep.
You would think the one that he would be the one in over his head, but the longer this goes, and the more they have these, the more they kind of play off of each other. The more like it feels like Cena is completely out of his element now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, the promo, Cena being scared. Yeah, that doesn't work. It doesn't fit the character.
Yep.
It's kind of counterpoint to everything he's said about any of his other opponents, which is supposed to say a lot about Bray, but it also backtracks on a lot of what he's said before.
Yeah. Well, before I get any further, you brought up the point, Bray's supposed to be the new guy. Doesn't it feel like every time he grabs the mic and starts talking more and more, he's the veteran in the ring?
It's so weird.
You would not expect such a newcomer, if you will, to be so ring savvy on the microphone.
Yeah. He was born to work that mic.
And that's awesome. That really is.
Yeah, because it's kind of a dying art. Because they're so used to scripts. They're so used to a writer telling them, okay, go out there, say this at this time. Here's your timing. And I remember when this tension started between Randy Orton and Triple H. And, you had a... You had them start throwing down, and Triple H go, well, who the hell do you think you're talking to? And Randy comes back with the WWE champion. Because in his head, he's thinking the line is, who do you think you are? But that's not what comes out of Triple H's mouth, but it's so geared in, he just went with it.
Yep. And I was like, no, you are.
Wrong. Yeah. Wait. What?
Or it's like, let's just like keep moving. Maybe nobody will notice.
They might as well at that point have gone. What day is it today? I know what you are, but what am I?
What?
Yeah. Don't worry, I'm fine, Susan.
Yeah. What day is it today? Yeah. Well, I'm rubber and you're glue. That made as much sense.
But when you see mistakes like that from guys who are so used to a script, it really highlights just how good it is to see someone who can write his own material or come up with it all on his own on the spot.
Yeah. You know, and that's one of the things that I really appreciated about watching Johnny Devine wrestle when he was, several months ago for that promotion in Calgary. The guy would just come up with whatever, and it was like right off the cuff. He wouldn't talk about it. He wouldn't lay it out. But he would, not to pull the curtain back a little bit, but during all of the pre-show meetings and stuff, he's telling the guys the points that they have to make, what they have to get out. And there was only one guy who improvised his promo in the entire time with Devine, and that was Ravenous Randy Myers. The two of them improvised their promos with each other, and it was absolute gold. Absolute magic.
God, kayfabe taking it straight in the ass tonight.
So, yeah, not to blow anything out of the water, but I'm not telling you anything that, that you didn't know once you got rid of suspension of disbelief. Oh, that's a cheap shot. I'm not going to repeat that. Anyway, so, yeah. As far as Bray Wyatt and John Cena are going, I have to admit that this is one of the few John Cena matches I am looking forward to, only because I am anticipating Bray being the evil winner.
Cena losing at WrestleMania? It doesn't seem possible.
Unless you're the Rock.
But then if you stop and look at it, the guy who was known as Mr. WrestleMania was, what, 5-30 or something like that in Mania matches?
Hey.
WrestleMania
was nothing to do with his win-loss record, Tim. It was the constant good performance he put on at WrestleMania every year.
I know.
It's also out. The marketing department.
Yeah, not 35 WrestleManias, but it was, and it was an exaggeration to make an example. But, yeah, John Cena losing at WrestleMania, I won't cry. If it happens, is it going to happen? I hope so. So there that is. The latest Hall of Fame inductee, guys, Mr. T. Is that deserving or what?
He's going into the celebrity wing, which is the most token part of the entire Hall of Fame. It's like we have to find one celebrity.
Yeah.
So I really couldn't give any fucks about him being inducted. It would have happened had to have happened at some point.
Okay.
And since you've got a very old school vibe with, Jake going in and the Ultimate Warrior being a headliner and everything, it makes sense to have Mr. T go into the celebrity wing just to keep that old school thing going. But again, as a celebrity wing, I don't see why anybody should be complaining.
Okay. Well, I was going to caution you on using the word token when talking about Mr. T, but never mind. Go ahead, Omega.
Keep in mind, this isn't your typical celebrity induction, though. I mean, this is a guy who actually stepped into the ring more than once, mm-hmm. and lent what huge star power he had at the time to this new thing that was starting up. WrestleMania.
Yep.
This was well before just the. I'm sorry, Tim. I'm going to use the word. This was before the token appearances of later celebrities who have already entered the Hall of Fame, like Drew Carey, which was re-fucking-diculous, or Pete Rose, which was re-fucking-diculous.
Yeah.
This is a guy who actually got in a match, worked the match, lent his star power to WrestleMania, helped grab an audience for it in the first place, before this was a thing. Now WrestleMania is like, it's one of the biggest events. People who don't even watch wrestling normally tune into this. This was a new thing. Clearly you have something very important to say, Tim. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to, I could have waited. I didn't realize that you still had your point to go on, and so I was just trying to talk. But seeing as you opened up the door for the floor, I remember being quite the young guy, and the build-up to Mr. T's appearance at WrestleMania, and it was huge on all WWF programming, which basically boiled down to a whole bunch of hours on different channels on Saturday afternoon. You had Hogan putting over Mr. T, and you had vignettes. Hogan's in the gym training Mr. T, and everybody was super excited because Mr. T, you know, they're talking about how big of a star he was, how huge he was back then. And that is not a single exaggeration. You know, I go into school with guys who actually, you know, they would come to school dressed up like they were Mr. T. Well, that was the dumbest goddamn thing I ever saw, but, you know, it was the early 80s. What the hell, right? But, no, it really was a big deal.
I mean, as far as, you know, celebrity inductions, you look back at, you know, the other celebrities that have made big appearances on WWE television, be it pay-per-view, Raw, whatever, mm-hmm. by far the most deserving,
yep.
at least that I could tell.
Well, you know, going into the celebrity ring, wing of the Hall of Fame, you know, like May said, you know, meh, to paraphrase him. The one celebrity I think would be the most deserving to go into WWE Hall of Fame. You guys, either one of you care to take a guess at who I'm thinking?
As long as it's not anybody from the guest host era.
No, it's not. It's from even before then.
You know what? If we're going to go guest, no.
No, not
Smitty. I would put Bob Barker in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that'd be cool, but that's not who I'm thinking.
Oh, I guess by the part where he said it's before that era.
Yep. Andy Kaufman.
That'd be a very big reach.
That'd be a huge reach just because he's never done anything. But he's a lot more deserving than all these celebrities that appeared in WWF/WWE because, you know, and even Jerry Lawler will tell you, WWF turned down Andy Kaufman when he first came up with the idea. Jerry Lawler jumped on it. Andy Kaufman was the guy who opened the door for Hollywood to get involved. Andy Kaufman paved the way for rock and wrestling. Andy Kaufman was the pioneer, the innovator. We know a little bit about that on this website, innovation, here and there. But, yeah, I understand it's a stretch and it's a reach, but at the same time, he's probably more deserving than a lot of the people that they put in there.
It's a reach because he never worked with the WWEF, WWWF, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Never had any involvement with there. But, you know, we just inducted Carlos Colon this year.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have a valid point, much as it pains me to admit.
I know, that hurt you.
Ugh, bitch. No, it's... And not just for, you know, being noteworthy and actually opening the door for Hollywood, but just the fact that he had, honestly, he opened the door for more mainstream audience too. I mean, what you remember the most about that feud was the David Letterman appearance, where
yep.
it's a wrestling feud, but people bought into it.
Oh, okay. It was like totally, everybody totally believed this was really happening. And the thing about that, the cat wasn't let out of the bag until the movie Man in the Moon. Because even Jerry Lawler wasn't commenting on it until that movie.
God. Now I want to see that movie again. God damn it.
That's a damn good movie.
I know it's a damn good movie.
Just while we're on the topic of celebrities involved with wrestling, who's excited for Schwarzenegger coming back tomorrow night?
Yes. Triple H getting his revenge.
I don't think Triple H is going to get his revenge. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to one up him again.
I don't really care, but still, it's come on, it's Schwarzenegger. You know the hamminess is going to be turned up to 11 tomorrow night with him on the show.
Kind of,
you know the weird thing about it. I was watching WWE Network a few days ago, and they were airing Schwarzenegger's appearance on Raw. And it got me thinking. I was thinking it just Monday night. You know, these days, these guest stars that they get, okay, Betty White, okay, well, she doesn't quite fit the feel of the WWE, but okay, fine. Or the Muppets, where, you know, it's fun stuff, but at the same time, you know, it doesn't really fit the theme of WWE. And then this was when the Scooby-Doo appearance rumors started up, too,
mm-hmm.
which is happening. Good yep. Lord.
Yeah. And I've already seen a picture of Sin Cara with a little stuffed Scrappy-Doo doll.
Yeah.
So.
God. Scrappy-Doo and Sin Cara, which of the biggest failure in this picture?
Depends on which Sin Cara they used.
Oh, is this
El Hunico or actual?
It was Hunico. It was tattooed Sin Cara.
Yeah. Of course it was Hunico, yeah.
But it got me thinking, like, whatever happened? You know, whatever happened to those big guest stars? You know, why don't we have anyone like an Arnold Schwarzenegger again?
Yep.
1 hour later...
It's announced.
Yes.
See, this only proves Omega is the mole.
Shut up. Why am I the mole? I just admitted it.
No, I think what it proves is that WWE is in our thoughts and our minds, and they've somehow had chips implanted into each of us that read our brainwaves, because we bring up shit, and then we see it the next night on Raw, and we're like, you fuckers owe us money.
But that's not possible, Tim, because I'm wearing a tinfoil hat.
Has anybody told you those don't work?
The government told you they don't work.
Well, you don't listen to the government. They're not libertarians. Anyway, yeah. So, Schwarzenegger coming back tomorrow night. That's going to be fun. You know who I want to see come back? Bill Shatner.
Oh.
Yeah, you're going to say Bob, what's his name? Barker.
Shatner.
William Shatner.
I'm sorry. I'm very much over Shatner. He's just, yeah. Over.
I just got such a kick out of when he put Triple H into that quarter, Nelson. I want to see it again.
The only time I have enjoyed William Shatner on anything recently was his own Comedy Central roast. That was only because George Takei took a goddamn good shot at him.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, George isn't the only one. Nichelle Nichols took a couple of good swipes at him, and you could tell that both of those guys were very sincere. They weren't just roasting. They were, like, letting him know what was. So. And the thing is, he didn't seem to be in on it. He didn't realize it wasn't a joke. So. Anyway, that's that. Right before we break, why don't we talk about Total Divas being TV-14 as opposed to all other WWE programming being PG?
Because clearly Total Divas is the more realistic show.
Yeah, reality TV, there's no such thing.
last reality TV show was the first one.
Yeah. Doesn't it kind of sort of seem hypocritical that on PG programming you've got advertising up the and promotion and all this other stuff for a TV-14 show that probably the parents of a lot of kids who are watching Raw won't let them watch this program?
It's because the kids want to know all about. You know, the big, you know, who the Bellas are sleeping with that week.
Well, that would be John Cena and Daniel Bryan.
I know.
It's too bad that the one got implants because they can't, you know, like do the switcheroo just to compare notes and stuff like that.
I don't want to know what your headspace is like, Tim.
I just, you know, I've heard stories about twins who do that. Anyway, never mind. Tell you what, why don't we take our next break of the evening and then come back with a little bit of roundtable. Everybody, you are listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back on the other side of this timeout
every Monday night. Get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns.
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number 2.
That's currently number 7. It was number 2 at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gang bang or something. That's no gang bang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's the horse you have, that's the horse
you have.
Not the pelvic thrust. What, Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't hurt you.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'll have to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you...
The home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that. We have two words for you. You're welcome!
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move him. I said chill.
Back WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Every time I hear that song now, I can't help but remember the night Natty Neidhart was in studio and she took over the interviewing. She took over the entire show.
She interviewed, what, April Hunter, I believe, on that one?
Well, it was like a ladies' night theme that we did.
Yeah.
And, it was April Hunter and a couple other people. And I'll tell you guys off the air what Natty said about April Hunter to me.
Tracy,
you know, it's a behind the scenes thing.
Tracy Brooks was also on that show.
Yeah, that's it. So.
See, this is what happens when you put together a whole history.
What's that?
This is what happens when you put together the whole history. You kind of remember what was
on. You kind of remember shit, especially when you've worked on it for a grand total of 2 days. Literally.
Yeah, really. For hours.
Yep.
Hours.
It's like... It's fresh in the brain, that's all. That's all it is.
Yeah, and I also have the text right in front of me, too.
Yeah, there you go. So, but yeah, what Natty was saying is not fit for public consumption, and it could get me and her in trouble, so I won't say it. But I'll let you guys know off the air. Anyway. Why don't we, delve into a quick little roundtable question?
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancing Roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
All right. Roundtable question. If they do use Sting after WrestleMania 30 and have him wrestle a couple of matches or even just make appearances on WWE programming leading to WrestleMania 31 for whatever they'll have him do, get inducted, whatever, would you basically, if you were creative, drop them from the rafters like they used to do in WCW?
No.
Nah. There was this little incident that happened in 1999. Might have heard of it. One of your favorite wrestlers of all time, Tim.
Yep.
Yeah, didn't quite work well for him. I don't think they'd really be wanting to repeat any type of situation where something like that could happen again.
Yeah. Well, is it a case of, we don't want to endanger his life after what happened, or we don't want people sending us emails and hate mail and shit like this because it's a little bit too sensitive?
It's a someone died, so let's
both
never do this again.
We don't want to get
And add that he's like 55 years old.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that might have the tiniest little bit in it. But, you know, 55 is the new 38. Remember that.
You also got to remember
this. Yeah, but
he's
last
Sting.
Year's model.
If go ahead.
You've also got to remember, this is a guy that's been wrestling for, what, nearly 30 years? 30 plus years now?
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who has been in the wrestling business will tell you that you take your real age, add 20, that's how old you really are.
Yeah.
So, you know, Sting, 58 years old, got the body of probably nearly an 80-year-old right now.
God, Terry Funk's a corpse.
Terry Funk's has been a corpse for the last 50 fucking years. Terry Funk was born a corpse. Come on.
There you go. So, yeah, it probably wouldn't be the best of ideas to do something like that. How do you bring him in? Do you let him walk through the crowd like the Shield does, like Edge and Christian did? Or does he just come out the entrance like everybody else? Or do the lights go out and he just shows up in the ring? We've never seen that before.
How to bring in Sting? That's one of the biggest, probably most complex questions we'll ever have on this show in the last year, easily. Because I know none of us would ever agree to the same idea.
No.
Yeah.
So,
because I've got my idea last time we talked Sting, and I like my idea, and everyone would go, no, fuck that.
Well, that was your idea about whether or not to use Sting and shit like that. We're talking about how do you have him do his entrances and stuff.
No, not
down the ramp.
Yeah, let's try something new and have him walk down the ramp.
Just be original. Walk down the damn ramp.
Have lights flash. He walks down the ramp. It's amazing.
Well, considering that the latest rumors going around is that he's going to debut at WrestleMania, there's not going to really be that many options available for him to use. So pretty much walking out on the stage, onto the ramp, or whatever, is going to be probably the most effective entrance the guy's going to make. Mm-hmm. Hell, it doesn't really matter. All you got to do is have him walk out, and that's it. People's minds will go kaboom.
Now, how much build-up are they going to have to give the younger attendees of WWE shows?
Sting Week on the WWE Network.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, the best of Sting on the WWE Network a week before WrestleMania. Not that that means anything.
You do it the week after.
You don't think that they should bring him in at WrestleMania 30 at the end of the show? Well, I still say that would be awesome.
No.
Hold on, before we, Omega, I'll catch up for a second there. You got to realize a lot of the younger generation are going to already have some idea of who Sting is. Take a look at some of their highest selling DVDs. Include the letters WCW. The guy has featured in those DVDs. So you won't really have to educate the kids that much on who Sting is to debut him. Anyway, Omega, go forth.
No, I brought this up the last time we talked to Sting, and I still think it's the most dramatic way of introducing him. Now, the most dramatic way you can debut him, which is to have him appear after Undertaker beats Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
You have the announcers play it up. Brock's in his prime, and Taker still beat him. You know, who is left? Who is left that even stands a chance against the Undertaker?
Yeah.
Lights go out. You hear this new theme music they hadn't heard before. Big Scorpion appears on the Titantron. Lights come up. Sting's there in the entrance ramp or up in the rafters. One or the other. Point a baseball bat at Taker. Make your promise for the next WrestleMania. No different than Taker carding Triple H out. Doesn't mean you have to let them feud for a year, Cena and Rock style. Mm-hmm. It just means the seed is planted.
Yeah.
And in a year, we cultivate.
That's kind of sort of like very, very similar along the lines to what I was saying, so I don't know how you get the idea, or I would say the hell with you. And your silly ideas.
I brought this up, and someone raised a stink about utilizing Sting for that year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, you don't have to keep mentioning the Undertaker every time Sting is out there.
Yeah.
You bring it up during Raw just to mention, oh well, this is what he did at WrestleMania. This is the moment. If you missed it, go watch the replay or buy the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
But from there on, you never make mention of it.
Yeah.
Just let it sit there.
Yeah, I love the idea of having him make an appearance right after Taker beats Lesnar, however he beats Lesnar, whatever way. And I just don't think that that would take anything away from his match at Mania 30 at all. But, you know, that's just me and one or two other people, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it's kind of hard to say that because, well, at this point, you know, okay, it's Undertaker. He beats everyone at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know, so is it really news when it happens for the 22nd time?
Not so much.
No. So, hey, we've had 21 times where Taker just, you know, well, actually, no, because he got beat down after one of the wins. So, but, you know, okay, so let's say at least 20 times, you know, he's stood victorious.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets his celebration after the match and all that, and we make a big deal out of it. Let's do something a little different this time. Let's have someone have the balls to come and rain on the Undertaker's parade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is it's Jericho interrupting Rock in the middle of a promo. It is coming out and making your name known when someone is doing what they do best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you make a name for yourself, when you have the balls to interrupt someone else's grand moment.
This is true. That's true. Mace, were you the one saying that have Sting show up on Raw the night after WrestleMania 30?
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
I don't see the... Like, I understand that, you know, you could have Sting come out, be the rain on the parade and everything at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it sort of downplays the match that came before it, though, and I don't want that to happen because, let's face it, this year is going to be nothing short of World War III between Lesnar and Undertaker, especially
it's
the way
that
they've built it so far.
Yeah,
and I don't want to take away from that by all of a sudden he is Sting. Okay, let's just forget everything that just happened. Here's what's next. Oh my God, can you believe it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that just sort of underplays what just happened.
Okay.
But if you want to do it next night, there's not that chance of underplaying the match.
Mm-hmm. And you know that you can have Taker. You can have Taker appear.
Yeah. Taker can pop up the next night on Raw. Let him have an extra paycheck.
Yeah.
I'm sure whatever's keeping Michelle McCool together isn't exactly, you know, cheap.
Oh. Speaking about cheap, nice shot. I think the producer wants to chime in.
What if Sting shows up at WrestleMania? Doesn't that take? Wouldn't he be the big story of the night and not the guy who wins the title, like Triple H?
Not if Daniel Bryan comes out victorious.
Okay, you know what? Now that you're out here making a point, Mace, what did you wanted to say to Rock about his Triple H movement?
I wanted to give him the floor for a few moments to explain his idea and pitch it to the rest of us.
You heard him, Rock.
Down in fiery, fiery death.
Yeah, you heard him, Rock. Explain yourself, damn it.
See what I did there? I did segue into that. Anyway.
Yes.
You know, Triple H, you saw what he did on Monday night, and clearly Mace was not a fan of the beatdown style and the aggressive style he put on Daniel Bryan. What if he is the champion coming out of WrestleMania? It's another heel character. It's another, you know, guy for Daniel Bryan to feud with. Because if you look at it, there is no one on the heel side beyond Batista and Orton for Bryan to face.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I suggest Triple H should be the champion and have Daniel Bryan chase some more.
Mm. But he's been chasing since SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's been chasing since SummerSlam.
He's been feuding with Triple H since SummerSlam. It's never about the guys that he faces in the ring. It's him and Triple H. Bottom line.
Yeah, he's been chasing Triple H for so long. And if Triple H is the one to win and then go on and win the title at WrestleMania, you're going to be sending home 60, 70, 80,000 people, or however many that stadium's going to hold, with one of the most sour tastes in their mouths, only a couple of months removed from the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. You're going to get people booing this match out of the building the entire time if you run it with three heels when everyone hates everyone in the match. And everyone, and even if you liked Triple H, you're going to hate the fucker for taking Daniel Bryan out of the picture. You know, it finally looks like you're going to give them this. Here's this little nugget. Here's what you've been waiting for this whole time. No, Triple H, never mind. Fuck you all. And the cycle just goes on.
See, here's the thing. I would have agreed with your idea if it was prior to the Royal Rumble.
If it was before the Rumble.
Because looking at the reaction that Batista gave, that would have shot down any chance of Triple H coming out into this type of situation.
No.
You know, yeah. It would be a repeat of that same situation. Like, if they had done this, say, November, December last year, I would have been all for it. You know, or even if they did this at the Rumble. You know, no. Triple H gets the belt back in some fashion, and then Bryan chases him to Mania. I'd be all for it. But to have it happen at WrestleMania? Oh, boy, you might as well take the shotgun into your mouth and walk out the back and pull the trigger.
Yeah, because the Royal Rumble is such a good example, because what's the big talking point out of Royal Rumble? What does everyone remember about the Royal Rumble? Yeah, the crowd shit on the whole fucking pay-per-view the second Rey Mysterio came out.
Alright. Hold on. I have to disagree with Mace. Bryan didn't get screwed at Royal Rumble. Just playing that one out.
That's... Okay, I'm going by how people called it. That's the thing. People were calling Daniel Bryan got screwed. But even though anybody with half a brain knew that wasn't the original plan.
And most people believe he got screwed, and that's the funny part about it all.
He didn't get screwed, but everybody figures...
The crowd built themselves up for that one, and that's their own disappointment. That's 100% on the crowd.
Again, I say the Triple H movement lives on.
No.
Fucking bowel movement is what it is.
Dumb idea, bottom line. Now, is it as dumb an idea if Batista actually was over with the crowd upon his return? And everybody's like, yeah, it's Batista, woo, yay, instead of fuck you, go away, Baldy.
Better thing, Tim.
I'm just trying to hold on right before you make your point. I'm trying to think of any moment where Batista was actually fucking over when he returned. I think about the first 30 seconds when he walked out, and then when he got to the ring and was out of breath for a fucking promo, that's when everybody turned.
I think everybody turned when it's, oh, I don't have any problems with you, instead of just like being the animal and destroying, what's his name?
I blame the jeans.
Alberto Del Rio.
That's it, Del Rio.
Hey,
I blame the jeans, man. He tried to do a sit out with those things on the other day. Oh my god, it looked like shit.
At least he did it this time instead of like the first time where he only did the powerbomb. So give the man credit, he did fall down with it this time. Wasn't good.
Yeah, he looked more awkward than Kevin Nash powerbombing the Giants.
I think he slipped.
This is true. But my point was, would you rather have Batista as champ or Hunter as champ?
Which one of the two evils?
Uh-huh. Rather have Santino Marella as champ.
That's not one of your choices.
Like, how do you want to commit suicide? Do you want to commit seppuku, or do you want to take, like, poison?
Which is your favorite, the dog shitting in the front yard or the dog shitting in the backyard?
In the backyard, yeah.
There you go.
As they say in the bar, pick your poison.
Look, if you've got a gun to my head and want to make me choose, then, yeah,
well,
I'm going to go for Hunter over Batista.
All right, yeah. One new supporter
figuratively, that's exactly what Rock was doing, and you know it.
One more supporter for the Triple H movement now. No Batista, Triple H.
We are now
holding the poll on Scott Hall rules.
Oh man,
I will put this out there to you, Rock, especially because you want to suddenly put me as a Triple H supporter. I haven't been a fan of the man since fucking 2002. Okay,
but you just said you would rather.
I'm over 10 years of anti Triple H here.
He's picking the lesser of two evils. Don't twist it.
Mace would also rather be shot in the knees than shot in the head.
Some people I know would make a difference.
And you gotta remember, no matter how much I hate someone, I will give credit where credit is due. Especially when I don't have any other fucking choice.
Yeah. When you don't have a choice, when the poker's held to your feet, you cave. So there, okay, we've done the Triple H movement, and no, he's not a Triple H movement supporter. That doesn't count. Nice try, Rock.
I heard what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, that's the problem. You heard what you wanted to hear. You didn't hear what was being said, you tool.
Anyway, moving on.
Typical then. Wrestling fan.
Anyway.
And to me, that's funny.
This whole thing's funny to me. Anyway.
So there you go. Yeah, anyway, he's just being a shit disturber, guys. Don't bother with it. It's not a big deal.
Let me get Will in on this conversation, goddammit.
What's that?
When Rock originally put this idea out there on Facebook, boy, did Will go apeshit.
Oh, but he knew exactly what I was doing, too.
And he was playing into it because of it. It's too ballistic.
He's like, are you serious? Are you really serious? Why wouldn't I be?
There you go.
Anyway.
The thing about it is, you know, like when you're texting back and forth, they can't see the grin on your face or the chuckle in your voice.
Exactly.
Yeah, unlike now where you can't hide it.
I'm not trying to.
Can't get away from it.
Anyway.
Oh my God! Can you guys believe WrestleTalk Radio's been doing this shit for 10 years?
It's been a while.
It feels like longer, and I haven't been here for all 10 years.
No, you haven't, damn it.
No,
a decade, Rock.
There's only been one man who's been here for 10 years, and that's you, Tim.
That would be me, the guy who started the whole goddamn thing.
The original voice of wrestling.
There you go. Which, yeah.
Yeah, in those 10 years, we only got rid of one of them. God damn it.
Nice. Real nice. Yeah, no, the original voice of wrestling is, I haven't used that in a couple of years, but with any regularity, but that was actually a personal shot, at somebody who basically caused WrestleTalk Radio to be born, if you will. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard from him lately. I don't know what he's doing and couldn't care less, as a matter of fact.
I don't think anyone really cares at this point.
There you go.
Here's the thing, but thinking about it, considering you and your partner started this and he's gone on to do different stuff, yet you stayed here. Who's the sadder human being?
Well,
I am an equal opportunity shot taker, goddammit.
There you go. The problem with that is there's two answers.
And Tim wasn't taking a shot at that person. He was taking a shot at someone else.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely totally somebody else I was taking a shot at when I was doing that. So.
But Tim, you've done a lot in 10 years.
Like, well, yeah, we've accomplished a few things here at WrestleTalk Radio. Why don't you ask me about them? And I'll tell
you. Like I told you I was going back through all the old shows.
Yep.
And like every goddamn week, you had a guest.
Every week we had somebody new. And it wasn't just a superstar from the WWF. I mean, we were interview horse. We brought everybody onto the show.
Yeah, there's a comment I can make, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, don't bother. I know where you're going.
You realize whores get paid, right, Tim?
Yeah, I know. Or at least that's the idea. They're supposed to. Where's my check, damn it? Where's my limo?
I know. Where's our island?
Exactly.
Stop where, that.
Where is our island? But yeah, you interviewed, I don't know, who have you interviewed, Tim, throughout the years?
Let's see. Appearing on WrestleTalk Radio, such luminaries as Tully Blanchard, we've had C.W. Anderson, Ted DiBiase, Mick Foley, Jerry the King Waller won us our very first wrestling radio award for media interview of the year, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like Natalya, Natty Neidhart, T.J. Wilson, better known as Tyson Kidd, David Harry Smith.
He was on multiple times with you guys.
A whole hell of a lot of times. And the thing about it was, you know, living in Calgary here, having access to current WWE superstars before they were WWE stars, having to keep my mouth shut when they tell me, we've signed a deal with WWE and we're going to be there in the, you know, like however many years from now, a couple years from now and mm-hmm. blah, blah, and I'm not allowed to say anything about it just killed me.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, and we've we've had Matt Hardy, Matt Stryker, and the thing about having Matt Hardy and Matt Stryker both on, both of those guys, we had them on the night before they return or debuted, in Stryker's case, in WWE. Neither one of them let us in on the fact that was happening. And in fact, Matt Hardy, in his interview, was going on and rambling about doing all of these different indie shows and all these indie bookings he had and working with Ring of Honor. The next night, we turn on Raw and says, Mother Puss Bucket, he could have told us!
But no, version one was keeping that a secret.
He kayfabed it. That's what he did. So, yeah. Matt Stryker, he was out enjoying the evening, if you will, with Whipwreck when we were interviewing him. And the highlight for that interview was Whipwreck causing Stryker to just absolutely break up completely because, well, Mikey Whipwreck was throwing up on an anthill to kill ants.
I remember this.
Yep. And Stryker just couldn't keep it together once Whipwreck started doing that. Whipwreck, yelling a few things into the phone while he's doing it. Oh, God.
Yeah. But yeah, you've done a lot, and you, as much as it'll pain you, you've had a lot of different co-hosts on this show.
Yeah, the original trio, we called ourselves the Triple Threat of the Net, and it was, of course, Jeff Jackson and David Thomas, along with myself, starting WrestleTalk Radio. And, of course, David Thomas eventually brought his character, his wrestling character, Dr. Maybrick, into it. And, of course, he was running Hybrid Wrestling Coalition, along with Bad News Allen and Razor Rick Titan, who was a regular, I guess you could call him a regular contributor to the program.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, because he was at my house getting drunk every goddamn Sunday night for the longest time, and then using all of my coffee to make a single cup. Because he likes strong coffee. So, yeah, but the three mainstays, myself, Dr. William Maybrick, and of course, Jeff Jackson, who, transformed himself into the character JJ Sexay. And of course, he was spelling it JJ, in proper sexy, S-E-X-Y. I added the A and says, no, do that, JJ Sexay and run with it. And so he did.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in time, Maybrick wound up leaving the show after about a year. And we brought on a guy called Jason Clevitt, who is a contributing writer to Slam Wrestling, Slam Sports on the Slam websites.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole deal was doing wrestling. And Jason Clevitt, with his journalism stuff going on, actually brought us a couple of really high-powered interviews. I mean, we were the first and to this, to that point, only website to actually land and air a John Cena interview.
Which, by the way, this is what I was working on when I did come on. You can go to WrestleTalkRadio.com and actually hear that interview now in the throwback section.
that's the first thing that has been put up with the rebuild and relaunch of the WrestleTalk Radio website. Absolutely. But oh my God, there's just so many people that we've interviewed over the years. Eric Bischoff, you know, I've literally lost count.
You were in the hot seat with Eric Bischoff before there was a hot seat.
Yeah. I guess you could say that.
Yeah. But co-hosts, they own co-hosts, not interviews. We did interviews. Co-hosts.
All the different co-hosts. After Jason Klevit came aboard, Mr. Jackson had problems with moving and no internet or telephone or anything like that. And of course, I built this little contraption. Skype wasn't exactly around or big at this point in time. I built this contraption that plugged into the side of my phone, and instead of having a headset, you know, put the headset on my ear, this thing that I built actually plugged into, how did I do it? It was the laptop computer, mm-hmm. and my microphone headset was plugged into the laptop computer. The laptop computer was plugged into the phone. The phone was plugged into the main computer where we streamed. You want to talk about technical?
That's technical for you.
Yeah, and
just like any other Tim Stein product, takes 400 steps to what could be done in two.
Well, yeah, but at that time you had to do the 400 steps. We're talking about the old days here, Mace. Before all this fancy technology you kids today have.
Hey, back in the day, we used to hold microphones up to speakers to get phone calls on.
Yeah, I couldn't stand that. I hated the quality. So I discovered that if I found a way of plugging the phone in, it sounded marginally better. And it did sound marginally better mm-hmm. until we discovered Skype. And then we discovered that Skype didn't work for dial-up users, so JJ couldn't use it. We had to stick with the phone until he got broadband. But, yeah, so he eventually came back. Mm-hmm. And then Jason Klevit left, and we brought aboard Internet Dave.
Dave's not here.
Thank God for that. Yeah, no, in case Internet Dave is listening, that was just, you know, just one of many, many friendly swipes. Dave, just kidding around, buddy. Of course, he hasn't talked to me in about, a long time, several years.
You ever think it might be all those friendly swipes we took at him every week?
Well, that and the fact that we actually went on a hiatus for a little while back in, when was that, 2008?
Yeah.
2007, 2008, somewhere around there. and when we came back without, we didn't invite him back. We forgot to tell him.
No, we didn't bring him back. We brought back an Aussie, and his name was Nick.
Yeah, and there's Aussie Nick, which is, Nick was basically, you know, and this is another swipe, and it's just, you know, all in good, clean fun. I don't mean anything vindictive. But Nick, just in my brain, in my mind, to my thinking, he was the Australian Internet Dave.
You gave him one night to do this show. One night.
One night, and like, okay, you don't know what you're doing, forget it.
And then we had to go track down the other Aussie, Mace, and he's been a part of this show. And yeah. This is where we're going to throw to our first clip. Back in the day, Mace, well, he sort of cut some promos promoting this TNA show.
Oh, God.
Are you sick of Vince McMahon and all his bullshit? Do you want to cross the line? Frankly, so do we. Come and listen. To WrestleTalk Radio this Sunday night as Nick and myself do whatever the fuck we want and talk TNA. You won't hear no Santino Marella, you won't hear no Triple H. This is a place where you'll hear great guys like Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, and I suppose Jeff Jarrett too, contract obligation. So come listen to WrestleTalk Radio this Sunday night as the Aussies take the show down under, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now stick that one up, yeah.
Remember that, mate?
God, one of my first ever promos for this network. My God, that sounds like shit.
I have all four of them, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
How'd that TNA thing work out for you?
Oh, that worked out so well.
yeah, from last I heard, Nick disappeared many years ago, and I got promoted up to this show.
And, you know, back in the day, you know. Back in the day, you know, we now have Twitter at WTR Sunday Night and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Goddamn social media.
But back in the day, there was something called a MySpace page.
Is it,
what the
is
hell's
it,
MySpace?
Is it near or is it hot in here? Well, it's just here, so, you know. Well, when you wear a sweater in 50-degree heat, I guess you're going to get warm. Anyway, that's beside the point. Yeah, you were talking about there was wrestling this week? No
I
fucking way.
So.
As a matter of
there
fact,
was?
There's what? Wrestling going on right now tonight, SmackDown House Show, in the OKC. And for those of you wondering, where the fuck JJ at? Well, he's at the house show, and he actually called just a few minutes before we went live to air. He said, yeah, it was great. I waited until Orlando came walking by. I called him Buckwheat. Didn't like that too much. And was, you know, he's got front row seats. He's hooked up with Sign Guy down there, if you can believe it.
Cool.
He's a famous guy. He's getting a lot of friends on MySpace.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I don't want to hear about it. Apparently, I have a MySpace account, but nobody looks at it.
You do? Really?
Yeah,
well, you got to pimp it out there, man.
There you go. Apparently, Tim Stein has a MySpace account.
That is Trey's trade secret on his on KTTS in Springfield, Missouri. He throws it out there once, and he gets all these like hot chicks in Springfield throwing him on his MySpace. So
yeah, I checked that. I checked out Trey's MySpace account, seeing all these hot chicks. Hey, Trey, it's Crystal.
Although
Barney,
he did,
his MySpace.
Trey did tell me last night though that he is the Don Juan of fat chicks. So I don't know.
Hey!
Adam,
not you. No, I'm not saying that about you.
Adam, this is not Wrestling News Live. Don't get us into trouble.
I know, I can't throw that out there. I'm used to just kind of being free and, you know, making fun of fat shit. I don't know.
Adam, cut it out. I'm telling you, you are going to get...
I know, this is a different audience. I got to watch myself.
You're going to get kicked in the scrotes, and that's all
I'm
going to tell
you. Sorry.
Now, the question is, Tim, do you actually still have that MySpace page?
Well, I've never deleted the account or anything like that. I think it's still out there somewhere in cyberspace. But I haven't looked at my MySpace, which, you know, if you say that, it makes you feel like you're stuttering. I haven't looked at that in, oh my God, maybe since 2006 and a half.
Right.
2005-ish. And for those of you who didn't know who that guy was, that was Adam Martin of WrestleView, who was persona non grata nowadays. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he was, the girl was Tits Boom Boom McGee, better known as Harmony Jackson.
Another one of your former co-hosts.
Yeah, she actually, when she married JJ, she joined the webcast. I didn't have a problem with it.
Wasn't she on before they got married?
Well, yeah, she was. They were like dating and shit like that. And see, Harmony used to be a wrestler for Bruce Hart Stampede Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
We called her Mama Myers, and she was supposed to be the mother of like Randy Myers and Duke Myers and these people. And the funny thing is about that is she and Randy are the same age, and Duke's 10 years older than her, but she's their mom.
Yeah, it's wrestling.
So, but it's wrestling. So what can you do?
Now, you know, you've done the show, you've done interviews, and then you guys transitioned to doing pay-per-view shows, and you would actually do them at a bar.
Yeah, we were actually the first internet live webcast to do live remotes at a real place. Not just once, not just twice, but every single time there was a pay-per-view, TNA or WWE. So we were down at Bottoms Up Sports Pub, owned and operated by the one and only notorious Mark the Shark DiCarlo, also known as Spencer Tapley. Like a good, at least twice a month, we were doing the show from the pub, from the bar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not just talking about professional wrestling and what was going on during the pay-per-views, while the pay-per-views were audible in the background, but a little bit before this, we experimented actually with trying to do live audio. First, we started up doing the video cam with Yahoo. So if you wanted to see what was going on in studio, then you signed into Yahoo and you clicked on our camera, and then you could see the stop motion. And I got sick and tired of that, so I started looking around. And this is before YouTube was as huge as it is. This is before
Ustream and Justin TV.
Ustream and Justin TV and all these other places. Like, we were doing it before people were getting onto these webs. These websites weren't in existence when this was happening. So I'm looking around trying to figure out, well, how can we do video webcasting when there's nothing around? And I found Shoutcast live video feed, discovered an embeddable video player that we actually constructed into the chat room of the website when we were turning on the webcam and actually doing live video. You could click it and mute the player, which was, again, Shoutcast. So usually you're listening through Winamp or Shoutcast-compatible independent player, or an embedded player, your choice. You could, instead of listening that way, actually click on the video, and I had it all figured out how to stream audio and video. It was like a TV show.
Right.
But we didn't have a cameraman or anything like that. It was a one-camera shoot. You saw the back of my head, and every time we went to Bottoms Up Sports Pub, some smartass in the chat room would point out how much more hair I had lost in the intervening week.
I remember that.
He said, "All I can see is the back of some bald guy's head." Yeah, that was me. But Mark the Shark treated us great. We went in there, we wired up his bar with internet and the whole bit, figured out how to broadcast from there just using the one computer and the internet and all this other stuff. And he'd be treating us to our favorite libations of choice. And, of course, I'm always getting a beer. And I'm not the world's biggest beer fan, but I'm being given Sleeman's Honey Brown or whatever it was called, Ontario-Canadian beer, which is notorious for being the brewery that actually supplied Al Capone during Prohibition. And it got shut down for 50 years because of that. So. But, yeah, that was a lot of fun. A lot of professional wrestlers live in and around Calgary. And, you know, it's not just indie wrestlers for Stampede Wrestling or PWA or whatever. But, you know, notable names like Lance Storm. He's got his wrestling school here in Calgary, Storm Wrestling Academy. And when the pay-per-views are on, he would show up on a regular basis. And we wound up actually bringing him on the show a few times, and got to be fairly good friends with Lance. It's not like we meet for coffee every 3 days just to talk about our kids, but you know, not sending each other Christmas cards, but we'll have a beer together if we run into each other in the same place, and you know, reminisce about stuff, which is weird to reminisce about things with Lance Storm.
Is it very serious when you do that?
Believe it or not, when you're just talking to Lance, he's not that serious. Of course, I knew Lance, like, before he got into professional wrestling. He was a bouncer at a nightclub that I used to go to called Malarkey's. And at the same bar as a bouncer was Chris Jericho, these two guys. And Lance Storm was all, like, even back then, before he became a professional wrestler with his serious gimmick, he was a serious SOB walking around wearing a red bow tie all the time.
By the way, Tim.
Name dropper.
Yeah, okay, there you go. In the meantime, while he's actually doing his job as a bouncer, Chris Jericho, dressed as a bouncer, getting paid as a bouncer, sitting in the back corner, and that weird little thing that he did with his hair that you used to see in WCW all the time, and for his debut in WWF, he was actually wearing that. He was wearing his hair that way when he was working as a doorman in the nightclub. But he'd be sitting in the back corner, surrounded by women, all these girls, and they weren't surrounding him because he was some kind of world famous professional wrestler. So I don't get what the attraction was, because that was the dumbest looking hairdo on the planet. Sorry, Chris.
It's the appeal of the bouncer.
I think it might have been.
They
got almost as much action as the disc jockey in that bar. And the disc jockey was married, and his wife would go to the bar every single freaking night, and he still got action. I was just like, wow, I want to be a DJ. Wait a minute, I was. Anyway.
What are other things you accomplished, Tim?
doing the live webcasts. We were getting back to the interviews. We were among the first to do live interviews, not recorded. Not just once in a blue moon, but every single goddamn week. We were one of the first ones to do that. One of the first ones to stream video. A whole bunch of different things like that. And it was never played up as much as I suppose in retrospect as it could have or should have been as a marketing tool. Cause you get all of these websites are now doing what we were doing first.
Right.
And I surf the internet and I'm not like all pissed off and jealous or anything like that. You know, I see these guys and they're doing this and I'm thinking, well, good for you. Good. And then I think, hey, wait a minute. I was doing that like 3 years ago. Awesome. I feel like I,
started all this.
Well, I don't want to say that I was the one who started all of it. Even though in some cases, I suppose that's true. But, I like to think that I had a major role in a lot of the things that are happening on a regular basis or have happened on shows that have come and gone. Mm-hmm. Cause I was doing them first. I was among the, we were among the first to do all of this shit.
Right.
And people were taking notice, even though it was really quiet. I mean, if Facebook existed the way it does today, if it was back, because MySpace was like bullshit. If there was a Facebook back then, like there has been for the last few years.
Hey, if it wasn't for MySpace, I would never produce OTL.
There you go.
And I would never. So, this wouldn't still be going on.
And I'm sure there are two people just sitting back listening to me ramble while they play video games or whatever, thinking
I'm building
that
Legos
or playing
I'm
with Legos or even eating pizza that are really upset that OTL is not around anymore.
No, I think one of them is, and one of them is go to youtube.com/TJOmega.
Yeah, there you go. But at one point
in time, it
tears
me up every day.
Yeah, the birth of Wild Talk Radio came after like 2 weeks after JJ left Wrestle Talk Radio. We went on a 2 week break, did a couple of changes. I held onto the domain Wrestle Talk Radio. I bought Wild Talk Radio. Now, this is back in the fall of 2007, remember?
Right.
And we hooked up with this website called TPS Radio. And I have to give TPSR a hell of a lot of credit, first off, for letting us do Wild Talk Radio, because we were wild about sports, Saturday nights.
Get it? Wild about sports. Wild Talk Radio. Get it?
Yeah, you get it? Get it? Yeah, that's where it came about. but I gotta give them a lot of props for putting us on there. And we'd spend the first hour talking wrestling, and then the second hour we'd switch to what was going on that week in the world of sports, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, And I had Spud helping me out with that because I'm not much of a follower of baseball or basketball, while he is. And he and I would get up some pretty good discussions about all different sports that we wound up talking about. But as there's a beginning to everything, there's also always an ending to things, and our ending with TPS Radio came fairly quickly. I just got tired of not being able to do my show on my regular Saturday night time slot at the end of my week, and I wanted to go back to that. They weren't able to accommodate us because there was other programming on. One Sunday afternoon, Spug and I did a special edition of Wrestle Talk Radio on TPSR. And the two of us on Sunday afternoon broke the listener/viewer record because they had actually hooked up with Ustream and they were streaming all of this programming that they had based around wrestling and baseball and whatever. they were putting that out on Ustream. And I'm happy to say that Wrestle Talk Radio/Wild Talk Radio are the holders of the record amount of listeners to one single program for any length of time on TPSR. We wound up with almost 700 people tuned into us, which I thought was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I mean, sure, we get thousands of downloads every week from people who can't tune in live, but to have those people who normally download listen live, that was a bit of a treat.
That was.
Yep.
So when did Omega get involved in all this?
Oh, my God. I think Omega got brought on board. Like, he was a semi-regular listener for a few years. As a matter of fact, Omega, weren't you at one time when Wrestle Talk Radio had our forums? Didn't I make you, like, a forum moderator?
The fool that you were, yes.
Yeah,
that.
And this was like, so you've been around since 2006, hanging around the show, listening and posting in the forums and stuff.
My God, has it been that long?
Yes, it was since Casino Royale first made it to the theaters, and that was in 2006.
Wasn't the saying, go to the forums or go to hell?
Yeah, go to the forums or go to hell. And the thing was, that was Dr. Maybrick. That was David Thomas. Because I would always promote the forums at the end of the show. Hey, go to the forums! And he would say, or go to hell. And like the first time he said, well, Jesus Christ.
And then you used it for ages.
We just, yeah. You know me, when I hear a good thing, I hold on to it until I beat it like a dead horse.
Yeah.
You do that with the bad things, too.
Yeah,
well, hey, you know, bad things. I am the master at bad jokes. It's not easy being so unfunny.
Let me tell you. We know, Tim.
Yeah, I'm sure that you probably have a clip or something lying around, Rock.
We played that as one of the bumpers once already.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I'm master of the bad jokes, shit like that. But I do it deliberately because, well, it started on a bit of a whim. I noticed that JJ was starting to shine a little bit, and I'm thinking, well, you know, let him have some of the glory. I'm just in the background running the website and putting the show together. You know, stuff I'm sure you can relate to, Rock.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Tim.
And, yeah, basically just playing host to Wrestle Talk Radio, and people would try to give me praise and kudos, and I would accept some of it, but I'm like, dude, no, he's the star of the show. I'm just the host. And they're like, no, you do everything. All he does is show up and talk, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And that was probably one of my biggest mistakes, was focusing so much of the spotlight on him. That wasn't a shot at JJ, and I don't want it to be taken that way in case he ever listens to the archive or if he's tuned in tonight as a lurker. I don't know. We had some really great shows together, and I was more than happy to, because I've never been one to be a huge scene stealer. Let his character get the lion's share of the attention means that fewer people bug me on Skype during the middle of the week, because it was getting to the point I couldn't do anything. I was getting so many instant messages and emails and stuff like that on a regular basis that it was just not too much. But I should have focused a little bit more of that spotlight on me, and I still to this day don't do that as much as some people think I should, Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a little too humble for my own good for an arrogant prick.
Yeah, really. You are the original MC, after all.
There you go. I just don't know where you came up with that.
But anyway. It was in one of the shows I listened to.
Oh, okay. So I said it once and didn't even think about it, and was such a throwaway that, of course, I didn't remember. But you heard that, and you glommed onto it like an amoeba on, I don't know, whatever they glom onto.
I needed something for the website, and it worked. You didn't want me to put out, you know, the O-L-D-O-N-E.
No, we don't want to do that. That's old.
Right, so we won't.
Isn't that what he just felt? Well, yes, it is. Thank you for paying attention. Yeah. See? Edumacation works.
There you go.
Don't let anybody shoot down the American education system, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Right. We'll get their favorite moments in a second, but one other thing that you guys did, which was one of the most famous things ever, When Worlds Collide, Tim.
Oh, yeah. The first two live internet websites that did a simulcast. Wrestling News Live and Wrestle Talk Radio teamed up with each other. We had a synergy going, and for most of our combined run on Sunday nights, I let Wrestling News Live use our showcast feed for free. And basically, we set them up, and they knocked them down. We brought them in, and they kept them up late. When Worlds Collide was an idea that came when we were talking about one of the major pay-per-views, and, hey, we should all do the same, you do a webcast. And I'm like, well, we do webcasts. He says, no, all of us on one webcast. What, just during the pay-per-view? What's why? No, let's do a whole thing. So you want us to do the entire, like, 5 hours on Sunday all together? Yeah, why not? What would you call it? I don't know. When Worlds Collide? Okay. So, and it was a complete conglomeration of, you know, our intro and their intro, shit we do, and then, you know, mix it up, shit they do, all of the,
all
and
that
we're
fun
going
stuff.
Back and forth, this is how you do it, fucker.
You mean something like this?
This.
All right, everybody, how are you? We're having a party!
Woo! Do this!
Salute for all of you in the studio. This is for everybody out there watching on the camera. Oh, damn, that shit's good.
Woo! Wait, I'm still drinking.
When Worlds Collide, brought to you by Wrestling News Live and Wrestle Talk Radio, and we've got in the studio in Calgary, dramatic pause, Alberta, Canada, the one, the only, the heartbreaker himself, the producer that you all want to be, Timmy Stein. But then you've got me, and I'm not in OKC this week. No, I'm kicking it in Springfield with the crew. I'm known around the world as the ego-trippin', always pippin', sire of desire, the gigolo. All the ladies know, J.J.
No, no, sir, no, sir, no, sir. This is how we roll in our pad. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling News Live. I am the Trey Dog alongside my tag team partner,
J.F.K.
That's how you do an intro.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition. Hey, wait a second. The first edition, a special edition, When Worlds Collide, a double internet first. And you got it right here, WrestleTalk Radio, WTR Sunday Night, Wrestling News Live, the two hottest primetime Sunday night audio shows bringing you Survivor Series. Guys, it's looking like it's going to be a fun evening, at least for us.
You know, I'm looking forward to this pay-per-view, and I haven't been able to say that in a long time for anything WWE-related. But
although they did start out with Silent Deed and Who and Two Guerrero, so
is
I mean,
that what I missed?
Yeah, that's what you missed.
And I didn't miss anything.
Yeah, you didn't miss much.
You know, if they finally got a chance to put Heat on television, they'd give you something worth a shit.
You know, I was wondering if Simon Dean was even still wrestling. I didn't know.
I have no idea, nor do I care to watch Simon Dean. You know,
well, I guess he is. So.
Let the brother be Nova again, you know?
What's that going to hurt?
Put him and Nick Densmore back together. Together.
That's like a thin crowd out there in Detroit Rock City.
You know, it looks like we got more people in the studio than they do at the paper.
I think you guys might be right with that one.
All right. Well, hey, I hope that everybody's
And we'll cut it off there.
Yeah, that's long enough. You get the idea.
Yeah, you know, you finally get the two shows coming together, and what happens? Tim's still the guy who's too cheap to move out to get out of his own country, even for a weekend.
Well, it's not the fact that I was too cheap. It's that I couldn't because of all four of us, I was the only one who, you know, had a kid.
Well, guess what? I hope that changes by the time I get over there.
No, I still want to keep. I want to keep my kid.
I think by the time we get over there, then your kid might not be living in your house at that point.
He may be old enough for Tim can go away for a weekend. Anyway, we've heard from Tim for the last half hour, and we got to move along a little bit, but I want to get your guys' thoughts on your favorite moments in, you know, since you've been a part of this show. Start with you, Mace.
Well, here's the thing, you know, none of the interviews I ever did were on this show. They were on another show that shall not be named.
Keep it kayfabe.
No, hold on. Mace, that's a lie.
That's a lie?
Rated R, it's Superstar, Edge.
I was not involved.
You weren't? Yes, you were. No, you were here.
I wasn't here.
Yes, you were. Wasn't he? Yes, you were. So. Yes, he was.
But that would be one of the pre-recorded.
That week we recorded on a Monday night. You were here.
There were like five of us waiting for Edge to show up. He was late. I had to leave.
And you actually picked up the phone call and introduced everybody.
So there.
Oh, fuck. Okay, so I was involved in one whole interview the entire time that the show has been going.
With a WWE.
And I couldn't remember it.
He doesn't even remember.
Pretty much. Here's the show. Here's the thing. Like, most of my favorite memories with this network have very little to do with the show. at least from a host point of view, anyway. But from a listener point of view, you know, for me, it was always Monday afternoon here in Australia was always the double shot. You listen to WTR first, then you'd have WNL afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on a pay-per-view night was like the best time to tune in, because you'd tune in, listen to the pay-per-view coverage with WTR, and then you'd hear the recap and the good and the bad that came on WNL afterwards. So that was probably one of my better times, especially at the time I was doing web design work, and oh my god, was I bored. So 5 hours of podcasts between the two shows was always extremely helpful.
Yeah, Mace was the original fucking foreign kid.
Damn right. Despite what the little British twat.
Don't even bring him up because he deserves to be kicked in the nush.
Yeah, it was despite what a little British twat decides to say. You know, he was not the original foreign kid on these shows, man. That was me. Yeah, you know, I was.
That was you.
Me. This guy right here, you know, I was the first one that nobody could fucking understand when they called in. You know, it was back in the early days of Skype on a dial-up modem. Fuck you all.
I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing that we can understand you now, sometimes.
Can we?
At times. But yeah, oh god, it's been interesting to see, you know, I've been involved with this show for, what, the last 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
Yep, since 2008.
Yeah. Even through having to leave because I was working, which never really worked out because I'd always end up here on Sunday nights, mysteriously get sick on pay-per-view days.
People couldn't figure that one out.
No, not at all.
Mace disappears on pay-per-view nights. Meanwhile, I'm the bull. Oh, yeah, okay.
No, he would show up on pay-per-view nights. He would leave a regular night.
Yeah.
But yeah, Omega, mall.
Definitely, Omega's the mall. But yeah, of course, you know, it wouldn't be WTR if we didn't pimp and shill. And frankly, I one of my favorite memories for something I've done as a host would have to be those Ultimate Warrior commercials.
There you go.
Oh, shilling your pizza. Ultimate pizza.
Pretty much. That was the most fun I've had sitting here trying to script a promo, then read it, and about 8,000 takes later, I finally had something I could send to Rock. That was before I just record everything and just in like 7,000 takes in the one file and say, here, Rock, you edit the bitch.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, like, I've done Rock's job. I've been the guy who gets the run sheet together. I, you know, produced the show, and a couple of times I've had to host the calls for the show and everything else, especially back during the days with Nick, because nobody else wanted a bar to do
work
with that.
Nick, yeah. And we kind of sort of stuck him with you because you're both Australian. Oh, fuck it. They'll understand each other. No, yeah. Even Mace didn't understand Nick. But that was different.
Yeah, the night after a WTR went off the air, I get a phone call from you guys, and it's like, yeah, we're going to combine the shows back into two. We're going to bring you up and keep you on as a host. Nick, we're going to send somewhere else.
Yep.
Oh, all right.
We'll give Nick a show on Thursday. Fuck off, Nick. Nick, I got a great opportunity for you. We're going to give you your very own webcast on Thursday night.
You can learn how to run the ropes.
Oh, God. It was just so like Hollywood TV.
Anyway.
Like, you know, when TV execs try to give a TV show.
We got it.
Bad news.
Yeah, we got it, Tim.
We got it, Tim. Yeah. Let it go. Yeah.
But look, for all the, like, if it wasn't for WTR the show, you know, I wouldn't have gotten involved with podcasting. I wouldn't be experimenting with editing and all that type of stuff.
You wouldn't be going to all these conventions as a journalist.
Exactly, Matt. You know, despite us being a very small, unknown site in the gigantic world of the web, I've been able to use the accreditation that I've gotten from this site to get me into, you know, PAX Australia. You know, I got into the toy and hobby fair the other week. You know, I'm using the credentials here to start building media relations and give back to the site that I've spent so long listening to. Yep. And let's be honest, once again, if it wasn't for WTR, the show becoming worldtalkradio.com and everything, I wouldn't have had my time to jump on a certain Tuesday program and rip the living fuck out of an idiot from Wrestlicious, which then landed me a primo gig as an interviewer. So, you know, if it wasn't for this show, I wouldn't have some of my most favorite moments in the last 5 years of doing this, doing stuff for this network, you know.
So it
all leads back around to the originator.
One of the things that people have said in the last few years is you gotta give Tim Stein credit. He gives people a chance to sink or swim. I'm proud of that.
This is true. Speaking of the person you give, you know, a chance to sink or swim, that's the guy who you brought onto the show originally when you were wild about sports. Oh my God.
Hey.
Let's bring on the guy who knows nothing of sports.
Oh, I was listening to
him talk about it.
I was listening to some part of it, and you were trying to discuss football. It was interesting.
I can imagine.
One day we'll put those archives up at WrestleTalkRadio.com once we go through them all.
Then I can immediately demand you delete them for all time.
In which case, they'll wind up being featured front and center just because you said that.
Exactly. At one time, we had to tag team it, where I was on the wrestling portion, and then Spug would take over for the sports portion.
Yep. That, anyway.
And we just said, fuck it, we all want to talk wrestling.
Kinda.
Jeez. I'm trying to... God. Rock, I don't suppose in all your little researching you actually have the date of my debut.
That does not... We don't have the archive of that. I was looking. I went looking. Tim found a lot of old shows. We don't have it. It's somewhere between September 2007 and May 2008. I would say it's in November. I would say 2007.
Okay, let me ask you this, Rock. Did you listen to any of those Wild Talk Radio shows I uploaded that I found?
Didn't I just say that?
Did you listen to all of them?
No.
Because it's in there.
His debut was actually in there?
Yep.
Okay, well then it wasn't up when I grabbed them.
I'm sure his debut's in there.
I assume he's in there in 2007 and we don't have those.
There you go.
Again, anyway. But let's talk about Omega and everything you've done with this show.
Oh, good Lord.
Starting with, go ahead, you can even go as far back as when you had power.
Jeez.
And made Mace cringe.
I don't even remember the days of being a mod.
Then let's talk about how we had a TNA show going on, and then we just so happened to book a guest that we had to kick them off their own show that week because it was Rob Van Dam. Sorry,
oh,
mates.
Good Lord. That poor man.
You guys spoke to him for like an hour.
Yeah. Poor guy come on to do his little internet radio show, and he has to talk to two marks for an hour who won't let him leave. you know, that was one of those things is just like, yeah, I didn't think I'd have an opportunity like that, mm-hmm. you know, because okay, like I can meet him in an autograph line, you know, that's cool, or I can, you know, or you know, if I'm lucky, mm-hmm. we book him for like a 15-minute interview, your typical thing, not an hour. That was just surreal. Like we got to the 40-minute mark, and it's just like, we're not even like trying to do an interview at this point. We're just chatting with the guy. Now we're just picking his brain, mm-hmm. just because no one has told us to stop. You don't get that anymore.
But
you know,
yeah.
Continue. You know, the media runs are always on, okay. Well, he got 15 minutes. Don't overrun. He's got 4 more interviews today. Go.
Mm-hmm. Here's 5 minutes. Go.
Yeah. You know, which is all well and good, I understand, but you know, that's just like that was magical.
Mm-hmm.
So just okay, no limits. Talk whatever you want, and just go. Like we talk, I got to talk toys with Rob Van Dam. Like
toys,
I'm happy.
Toys, comics.
Yeah.
So you got
that makes for the best interview with a wrestler when you talk about his hobbies as opposed to his storylines.
Exactly. So you able to check that one off your bucket list, and then there was the mm-hmm. other Hall of Famer you got to talk to, you know, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, there's that too. all the interviews that Mace never got to be part of. I only do the big interviews on this network.
Uh huh. Then you had Jericho.
Yeah. The ones where you get to squeal like a little girl afterwards.
Yeah.
And I've got proof. I've got the raw Trish Stratus interview.
Which was for the rack. Which is amazing. That squealing as fast was amazing. It's available somewhere on my computer. So you also got to interview the great Jim Mono.
Don't even remember that. The referee for ECW.
Yes. Al Snow.
Al Snow is cool, because he told Spuggy he was wrong.
Which is still...
Again, you are wrong. Wait, Al Snow just said that to Spuggy? Yes!
That was cool. Like, I mean, just the list. Like, you know, just like... there was at one time, just, you know... It became it almost felt like I was challenging Rock.
And the lone one was Jericho. Like, can you give me Jericho?
Yeah.
Can you give me Jericho? And
give me...
There you
go. Yeah, which sucks because you actually got Jericho twice and I didn't get to do the second one.
Yeah.
Mind you, that being said, is there anyone left on your bucket list, Omega, or are you done?
I made the joke, and I still hold to this. I think he could get me Eddie Guerrero at this point.
Ooh. Too soon?
Would you settle for Chavo Guerrero Sr.?
The brother.
I have his phone number if you want Chavo Guerrero
Sr. I don't know why.
Well, hell, you don't need to interview him. Just call him up and ask him how, you know, how things are. He'll talk with you for an hour and a half. The guy's lonely.
What am I going to ask Chavo Classic?
What's your son like?
Well, but, you know, thanks to this show, I got, you know, there's, no, the big four in my head is, you know, Rob Van Dam, Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho, Edge. Okay. Which the Edge thing was hysterical, just sitting there for 3 hours.
Waiting.
Because at that point, you're not even nervous anymore. You're just pissed the fuck off.
But he was nice about it. He was nice.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we got some extra time for it.
And we got to sit. We watch Raw with Edge.
I know. That's one of the most surreal experiences of my life.
Mm-hmm. Sitting there, Edge is on the phone, and you're all watching Raw.
But
it's just funny how it works out sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I have friends, like, I every summer I go up to Tampa. I got friends who do, wrestling shows up there. I visit, and I get to be the name dropper, which is bizarre. When one guy is saying, Bobby Lashley came to our show one time. Uh-huh. I've talked to Shawn Michaels in an interview.
Take that. But yeah, so it's been a fun 10 years for us, mostly 6 or 7.
For me, it's had its ups, it's had its downs, it's had a hiatus, it's had me walking away wondering if I was ever going to do it again and thinking maybe I won't because I've had it. But every time I'm out, they pull me back in.
There you go.
We never did no such thing. Omega Spug and I were quite happy with the three of us doing the show.
God. The scary thing is I probably owe this network way more than I really should.
Say what?
Well, see, I had the name... Because, what do I plug? At the end of every show, it's like, TG Omega at everything. Except Facebook.
Except Facebook. Because you can't have it!
He has it, he has it on MySpace, but not on Facebook.
What the hell's a MySpace?
Do I have it on MySpace?
I don't know.
I don't think I do. Pretty sure I don't.
Well, you probably could, because it's MySpace. Dear Facebook, wait for the next great thing and then everybody will tell you to fuck off too. Sincerely, MySpace.
Well, I had the name TJ Omega picked out on YouTube forever. Mm-hmm. Just signed up for it, but I wasn't making anything out of it,
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any videos or anything. It's just like, you had to sign up to get your favorites list and all that. So that's all I had it for. The opportunity to kind of sit in for the chance to sit in for Wrestling News Live came up.
Right.
And thank you, Tim, for giving me a chance after that attempt at hosting.
Sure. I think it's because I didn't hear it.
You would have never let me on the air.
It wasn't that bad.
Kind of was.
Wasn't that bad.
I can remember having this conversation with Tim when I first started. I was like, okay, are you just going to go by Omega? You want to add anything to that? I was like, well, I'm TJ Omega somewhere else. And yeah. Not the most thrilled with the choice, but just let me have it. And then we never used it.
We just kept using what we're using now.
It's just Omega, because I was that way for so fucking long.
Yep. And then I went and renamed you on my Skype. You pissed me off one night for, I don't know, it not seriously pissed me off, but, just in a good, hard way, so I wound up and, okay, fuck it, you play with Transformer dolls, you are now Omegatron.
They are collectible action figures.
Right, Transformer dolls.
No, but this was really the first public outlet I had.
Yeah,
This is the first time I actually, got myself out there and had a public, listening. This is where I get my stage fright out of the way. And that's really what kind of elevated me to go, now I can, yeah, I have fun doing that. I've got this YouTube account that's doing nothing. Let's see if I can't actually make some content of my own. Let's see what I can do all by myself.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, now I was gonna say, now there's this little empire sitting over there.
Yeah, and you've gotten to the point where you actually built a computer on live video. And you had fun doing it. While I was doing whatever it was that I was doing, and I was like looking over. It says, "Is he about to throw that?"
It looks like he's going to throw it across. He is. No. Oh, no. He changed his mind.
No, the better thing about that night was the fact that he's trying to concentrate and put all these bits and pieces together while Rock, Lindsay, and I are sitting in a little Skype chat giving him shit every part of the way.
Giving him shit and doing the rah-rah thing in the chat room.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, especially at the point where he had friends from TFW and that in the chat room, yep, watching him do it, and they're wondering why he's answering these mystery people off screen, and he eventually had to say, "I've got three friends of mine helping, quote unquote, helping me via Skype, the assholes."
So,
yeah, that was a lot of fun.
But
now,
that's 10 years, Tim.
That's, yeah, you know, there is one thing that sticks in my brain over the 10 years, and even when I think about it today, I still want to laugh my ass off. But one webcast, and I hope to God it's one of the ones that we rescued. One of the webcasts, we had Dr. Maybrick and Jason Clevett and myself, and this whole thing started, we were talking about Virgil.
Why?
Because we had a picture of him at one of these
at
conventions.
At a convention with no line.
And he was sitting there to sign autographs, and there was nobody around. Nobody. Absolutely nobody.
And those pictures still exist to this day.
Yeah. And we we started talking about him, and for some reason, somehow, the goddamn conversation went to Pat Patterson. And it went back to Virgil. And Pat Patterson was still in the background.
I don't want
and
to know
Jason what... Jason brought up this story about how Virgil got his job in the WWE. And he expanded on it. And the rumor is that he pulled his thing out and dropped it on Pat Patterson's desk. And Pat Patterson hired him. And the whole point of Clevett's story was Pat Patterson was at one of these convention things. He's making an appearance. Somebody got his autograph, and then as Pat Patterson was leaving, the guy who got his autograph said, "It was a terrible thing what you did to Virgil." And from there, then a little bit more Pat Patterson talk. And somebody said something, and keep in mind, at the beginning of this show, or like a half hour before this whole topic came up, we were talking about people getting stretched in the dungeon. And somebody said something about someone concerning Pat Patterson. David popped up and he says, well, perhaps he stretched him. And just because of the whole context of absolutely everything we were talking about in the last half hour, it's just everybody. It was 5 minutes of silence because we were laughing so hard. When you just like laugh so hard that you don't make any noise, I fell out of my chair and almost broke my arm. And it's just the whole context of the entire thing. It just, oh, to this day, I think about that. And still, I start chuckling. Got to be one of the funniest things that ever happened.
And hopefully we have it somewhere. We'll have to find
oh,
it.
Oh, God, I hope so.
We'll have to find it.
So, yeah. But, yeah, it's been a fun ride, and I don't know how much longer we're going to be around doing this, or I don't know how much longer I'll be around doing this. But,
you'll be here for another decade or five.
Yeah, you might.
Yes, you will.
I might die tomorrow. So.
Anyway.
Ready not to- from age. Just, I'll, you know, kill myself after this.
Exactly.
Well, look, all you got to do is last another, you know, three, at least minimum of 3 years, so we can have that one gathering of all of us in the same room to do a show.
That one shot.
Yeah, because I'd love... The one thing I want to do when I get over to the States, and I've said this many times off the air, I want to get, you know, Omega, Spug, Rock, myself, you, Tim, Lindsay, get us into one room, probably on a pay-per-view night or something, with, you know, a couple of slabs of beer or something, or, you know, soft drink for Omega, because we know he doesn't drink. I'm not going to force him to.
Keto.
No, because somebody's got to hold the bail money.
yes, yes.
We've established this.
Oh, okay. trust the bail money to the toy collector.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
I was like raising my eyebrow at that one. He's like, "What the fuck?" Right,
fine. He's the patsy. He's the one we send to the police to get arrested. But just to have a one night one night WTR show with all of us in the same place. I know people are going to go, "Oh, it's knocking off Worlds Collide." Well, no, it's not, because it's the one show. But just have all of us live in the one place, only because I know the second when the arguments break out, there's going to be a fist fight somewhere.
Yeah, you and Spud.
Yeah, you and Spud.
Yeah, beat the shit out of you.
No, because I'll have the baseball bat, fucker. But, you know, it wouldn't even be a knockoff of One Worlds Collide, because we weren't all in the same place.
No.
There were only three people in, at Trey's place, and the rest were with me.
Weren't there technically four? Anyway.
And then Adam Martin.
Yeah, that's true. So.
And hopefully we won't get the cops called on us.
No.
Why not?
Because I'll probably either be trying to get my citizenship for the USA, or I'll be there on a suspended waiver visa. Okay, I don't want to be kicked out of the country.
And if the cops are called, Omega can't buy any more toys. And we already know he's going to spend that money.
Well, you know now that I'm going to have to force the issue and make this happen in Calgary, because I have friends on the police force, and I'll set up the video camera, and when you don't expect it, you know, I'll call up my buddies who are on the force and, just make it seem like it's legit just to freak you out. Just make you shit your shorts.
No.
Of course, it won't happen now that I let the cat out of the bag.
Exactly. Whoever's most central.
Anyway.
There you go.
So, that's reminiscing for 10 years of WTR.
I could have gotten in touch with people and had them come on, but why?
Why not? You know, there we go. So, want to do quick hits and get out of here, Tim?
Yeah, I suppose we could do that.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow, fine.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Alright, we're going to start with Mace. Describe WTR in three words.
That's, what the fuck?
Alright. There you go.
I couldn't go, why does this exist? Because that's more than five.
Alright, Tim, describe WTR in three words.
We did it first. Did it is one word.
Oh,
and if you don't accept it, fine, then we were first.
There you go. Hey, Omega, bet you can't guess what your question is.
If you were a blow-up doll, what kind of blow-up doll would you be?
If you were a blow-up doll, would you actually be listening to this show? No. Describe WTR.
That was lame.
I know. Describe WTR in three words.
In three words?
Yeah.
Fuck you, Rock.
Yes! Clip.
There you go. Mace, what flavor ice cream best represents Wrestle Talk Radio?
Oh, you bastard.
What flavor ice cream?
Ballbuster. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, Mace, but you fucking ballbuster. Yeah, you're asking him that question, but you're directing it at me, you prick. So what kind of ice cream would it be, Mace? He's like,
No, I'm just trying to think. I was going to go Neapolitan, but no, we don't have a black guy.
Or...
Uh, If we're anything, we're rainbow ice cream with nuts on top.
There you go. Tim, if the cast of WTR were different dessert items, who would be what?
All this because I told you I decided to make some homemade ice cream.
Yeah, just answer the question.
It was good homemade ice cream.
Answer the question.
You eat half of it and wanted to eat the other half.
Answer the question.
Okay. Well, you know, we could go standard and say Lindsay would be the tart.
Okay.
But that might be wishful thinking. I don't know. Okay, Mace is the kiwi lime pie.
That's racist.
It's not racist.
It's not racist. It's just inaccurate.
It's inaccurate by about 2,000 miles.
I know. Anyway, Tim. By the way, Tim, if you call her a tart, that might get you punched in the face.
Oh yeah, sure. I get threatened for that all the time.
You make threats as well, Tim. Just point that one out.
But I meant it in a good way. So I have to desertify everybody?
Yeah.
Desertify.
What would you call it?
Just start.
I don't know, but desertify is the plot to the next Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs movie.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. I did not
Sounds
know
like
this.
It.
Sounds like it.
Well, yeah, it could be. Or it could be something George Bush likes to do after dinner. I'm going to desertify.
That's what Rock I like is, about you, Tim. Current humor.
Yeah. Rock is deep fried ice cream. Omega's apple pie.
Okay. And you would be what?
Black forest cake.
Okay. Then you're a lie.
Many women who have seen me naked would disagree with you, but that's beside the point.
Anyway, Omega, would you rather eat store-bought ice cream, or would you rather make your own homemade ice cream?
Asshole. Not you, Omega. Rock. I'll have you know, it cost me $4.50 to make it. If I had bought the Oreo ice cream, it would have been $6.95. So it was cheaper. Shut up.
And it didn't have any chemicals in it.
No, it doesn't have any chemicals in it. It's all natural ingredients.
Yeah, sure it is. So, Mega, what?
All natural Oreos. Because that's so good for you.
Yeah. Hey, they're homemade Oreos.
Homemade Oreos.
Anyway, Mega, answer the question.
Stick two dark cookies and some fucking icing and slap them together, okay? Shut up.
No, I don't trust myself cooking anything.
Okay.
You know, ice cream or otherwise. Let's get that across.
Okay, Omega?
What?
You're not the one who has to make the ice cream.
No, Tim, don't start offering him your ice cream. He doesn't want your ice cream.
No, shut up. I'm saying anybody who makes homemade ice cream, you can have theirs or get store-bought.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. Every now and then someone does make me homemade ice cream.
And?
Well, they're female, so they win.
Okay, but is the ice cream good?
It doesn't matter.
The answer is, it doesn't matter. That's right, okay. Get a haircut.
So
no!
We realize that Omega still would buy
You get them. Hair!
You prick.
So, store-bought ice cream?
Fix your nose.
Anyway, store-bought ice cream, Omega?
Yeah, store-bought. I can trust store-bought more than I can trust my own.
And that would be...
That's just a scary thing to say.
That's quick hits, Tim. Wrap it up.
Oh, my God. That's the 10-year anniversary edition of WTR's Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. I just want to thank everybody who has stuck it with us throughout any length of time. Maybe not the whole 10 years. Let's go for 2.5 hours tonight. Thanks. Appreciate it. We're going to be back next Sunday night with more inanity, and we'll try to actually be funny for a change. That's a switch. We'll see how that works. It might be difficult.
It's the WrestleMania preview show next week.
Oh, so it's going to be really in-depth. You definitely want to check that out because we're going to tell you what happens or what we think should happen according to, you know, armchair booking, which we're really good at. We'll explain why at a later date. But before then, tune in tomorrow night after Raw goes off the air at 11:30 Eastern, 9:30 Mountain Time for the Raw Post Show with Sir Rockin' and Sir Lindsay, who's not a sir but a madam. Well, she's probably not a madam, and now I'm going to get punched in the face again for saying that. 3 hours of Raw in 45 minutes.
Keep going.
And then the next big thing will be The Rock Thursday night. Actually, two big things. See how I did that? That was good, right? with your host, Lindsay Ward. And Lindsay does stuff and talks about it on the air.
Yes, we will talk all about
Rock.
We'll talk about NXT Impact. And all the news you can possibly handle. It's Rack Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern. Go back and listen to our interview with Rob Schomburger, artist extraordinaire, right now at Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com.
Yeah, and Saturday night, midnight Eastern, or as close as they can get to it, depending on how long it takes to light the bong. CB Radio!
Weird, wacky, unusual. Follow Subway on Twitter at XQueerSubway.
There you go. Yeah, and don't forget, Wrestle Talk Radio on Facebook, everybody. Go and like the page. Follow Wrestle Talk Radio on Twitter. Stay up to date on what's going on with everything. The website is like literally micrometers away from being launched.
Yeah, it's the soft launch is up now at WrestleTalkRadio.com.
Yeah, the soft launch. It's going to take a little bit of time to be finished, but you know, that being said.
Yeah, you can follow this show at WTR Sunday Night and follow the network at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network and Facebook.com/Russell Talk Radio.
There you go. And for all the other plugs, go for it.
I did all the other plugs.
All the other plugs? Did you plug Omega's TJ Omega stuff? No.
I did earlier.
Oh, okay.
He's TJ Omega. He's TJ Omega everywhere, but
Facebook. You have to bring that up. It's a sore point.
But what are you on Facebook?
TJ Reviews on Facebook.
But you can go to tjomega.org and you TJ Omega on YouTube.
Yes, you can.
There you go. Yeah. Mace, plug something.
If you haven't checked it out already, go and take a look at the WTR Games Garage for some random videos that I uploaded at one point in time and plan to upload some more again. Columns to be incoming on wildtalkradio.com. Unfortunately, my Raw Thoughts on Raw column last week was interrupted by the girlfriend, and I never got around to finishing off those thoughts, and I'm not going to upload an incomplete version of the thing. So hopefully this week will go a lot better. So, yeah, keep an eye out for that. There shall be reviews incoming. I've currently got a copy of Dark Souls 2, that I've got to go through and review, and I'm expecting a copy of Metal Gear Solid Ground Zero to appear in the letterbox any day now. So, yeah, there will be more reviews incoming. Yay,
there you go.
And follow me on Twitter at TheMaceThing. Don't bother with Facebook because I don't allow anybody on there.
So there.
So, yeah, that's it. Another edition of TR Sunday Night. Join us next Sunday night for Season 11, Episode 1, Russell Talk Radio, where we take a look at what you can expect at WrestleMania 30. Have yourselves a great week, everybody.
So, are we now the longest weekly episodic internet radio program?
Well, that's another show with overinflated numbers.
I wasn't listening.
There you go.
Kind of like my son.
WildTalkRadio.com.